So thank you so much for the opportunity. It almost feels like I have to quicken this because I know the Spirit still wants to move. He still wants to move in a lot of people's lives here today. And I also feel a sense of maybe we were singing about the Lord's goodness and we were singing about crowning Him the glory. And some of us sit here and we don't understand that. We don't experience that. We don't see it in our own lives. And maybe it didn't make sense to you. So this morning, I just want to go through some scriptures with you, just so that it can make sense, so that you can also understand who the Holy Spirit is, what His work inside of you is. Because I remember as a small child, they used to tell me about a person living inside of me, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was a dove, so I always imagine it's this dove flying above me the whole time. You understand that kind of stuff? I were never taught who the Holy Spirit really is in my life. Inside of me, a person, the living God, the creator of the heavens and earth, living inside of you. I want you to take a moment to think about that. Living inside of you. And still, we choose to silence Him, our flesh. So my title today is Living and Walking in the Spirit. Life is dependent on the Spirit for a life living by the Spirit. So this morning as well, when you mentioned about they saying that the Lord never takes, He rests, but He doesn't take holidays. And that's the sense that the Lord also put in my heart in this time, that the flesh likes to take over, that we rest physically, emotionally, and spiritually as well. Then normally in January, when we start again, we are fresh, but we can't understand that we are filled with faith when trials come, tribulations come, and all of that comes. So I want you to experience that goodness in your life. We want you to experience, and at the end, we'll do a small illustration, but we'll get to that. And in Jesus, we see humanity as it always supposed to be, a reflection of God's divine goodness and power, His image on earth. But we don't reflect the goodness of God because of the following. I just want to read you this scripture, Galatians 5, 16 to 18. Before I read that, last week we were talking about, the week before, we were talking about reflecting on 2024. And I looked up the word reflecting. And the word reflecting means to reflect from something, towards something. In itself, the word says what it means. But what it also said there is it doesn't absorb it. It doesn't absorb the light, it reflects it. So that's the same in our lives as well. Is we don't reflect the things because we stay in the sin or live in the sin is because we're reflecting the things of life instead of reflecting it back to the Lord when it shines on us. And that was for me, that was so profound, of reflecting back on the year, looking back but not staying there where we need to stay. So I want to encourage you for 2025 and then in this time, it's reflect on the year, but don't stay there and absorb and take it over to next year. Okay, so I say, it's the scripture there. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And I'm going to stay there. Guide, meaning direct, lead, and walk. So how do we see the Spirit, just like I asked? Do we know that the Creator of the universe, Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, dwell as a person in you? What is He? What does He want to do in my life? All believers belong to God. We receive the Holy Spirit once we become born again. He wants to come live in your heart. And I want to read this for you so that you can understand what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life and what He's doing in your life at the moment. And it says, God longs to be close to His people. And the Holy Spirit is His presence within us, a living force that profoundly impacts our lives. He comforts us in sorrow, strengthens us in challenges, guides us when lost, and clarifies our confusion. Always by our side, the Holy Spirit intercedes, ensuring His support is felt in every aspect of our lives. As believers, we reflect God's sacred presence, shaped by what Jesus has done for us. This transformative relationship fills us with purpose and reassures us that we are never alone. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, what He's doing in your lives and what He wants to do in your life. In verse 16, it talks about about your ordinary lives, that it needs to be guided, directed, and walked by and in the Spirit. We walk in love, we walk as servant, but not in self-reliance, but in reliance of the Holy Spirit. This is a day-to-day action, everyday living. You are not doing it daily by yourself, but you are doing it by and through and in a person living inside of you, the Holy Spirit. That is not yourself. And if you're not living in yourself, then you will by the will of another. You will by the will of the Holy Spirit. And you will act by the act. You will act by the act of another, the Holy Spirit. So I do believe that people are hungry to be moved by God, by His Word and by the Holy Spirit, from the way they are to where they belong. And that is such a sense on my heart this morning as well, that from where you are to where you belong. Maybe you don't understand it, but this morning I hope that you clearly understand who the Holy Spirit is in your life, your helper, the person living inside of you. So we read further, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. So the flesh is still submitted to the kingdom of this world. And sin is part of the human condition, and individuals often struggle against these desires and needs. And I want to apologize if it looks like I'm sometimes reading a lot. Just to come back to my story this week, I didn't want to preach this week. There was a time this week where I wanted to tell, I can't preach. I don't know how to preach. I did almost 6 trainings this week. And all the trainings, I blanked out. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know where I was at. So I was so lost in it. And in that, the devil the whole time tried to remind me, you see, this Sunday you're also going to do that. And it's the whole time I'm like, yes, tomorrow it's going to be so much better. And it just got worse. And the last SMS when you sent to me, maybe we must do this, then I was like, yes, he's going to say, I don't have to preach. But you see, again, that's the flesh. That was the flesh that wanted me not to be here this Sunday. So if it might seem, please bear with me, this is stuff that's from the Lord's heart and that I want to share with you. And maybe some of it I won't remember and stuff, but I want to share it to you, please. So bear with me. And this guy just reads everything, okay, please. But yeah, just that was a testimony by itself, that I just said, the spirit man inside of me is stronger than the flesh. So I am going to be here, even if it's one person here, that the Lord works through me this morning, then let it be. So if the flesh gets the upper hand, you will not be able to do life of the Spirit. So we've got our sinful natures that we incline towards, things like self-interest, temptation, desire, rebellion against authority, social influences, and the personal choices that we make every day. So, and it reads further, and the Spirit gives us the desire that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So how will you not fulfill the desires of the flesh? By walking in the Spirit. That pull and temptations will still come. We can't guarantee, listen here, that now walking by the Spirit, none of it is not going to come anymore. Temptations are still going to come. All of it will still be there. So we acknowledge their presence, but in the power of the Spirit, we boldly reject them. Stand firm in your faith, confidently embracing a higher promise that delivers true fulfillment far beyond the temporary pleasures of life. So it talks there about the opposites. Opposite of faith is fear. Opposite of love is hate. Opposite of peace is conflict. Opposite of joy is misery. Opposite of hope is doubt. You see, these are the things that the flesh wants us, or what they're constantly busy being opposite of. And it says further that these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So the word constantly means always, repeatedly. These are fighting against each other. There's no middle ground, exactly like you said. It's either a sinful or living by the Spirit. You can't live in between. And the word translation is synecho. Or the Greek translation for constantly is synecho. I hope I'm saying it right. I didn't prepare this. This was literally Paul next to that word. So I just love the way that it said it. But it says that to be in a state of mental constriction, to be hard-pressed by urgency of circumstances, being forced, persuaded, or committed to do something. So that's what that constantly means, that it's constantly a fight, that it's constantly being forced, that you need to make a decision in between. What am I going to do? Every day is a fight when you get up. The flesh is very weak, but if the Spirit is strong, I've seen that in my own life, that if we live by the Spirit and we don't give ear to the flesh, it's going to be easier, it's going to be worthwhile, but the temptations will come and things will happen in your life. So before we placed our faith in Jesus, we were slaves to sin under its dominion. We had no power over sin in our lives. Yet God in His mercy opens our eyes to His grace in Jesus, and by the power of His Spirit brought us to faith in Him. We receive the Spirit by faith. So I did read the whole scripture there. Oh, sorry. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not obligated to the law of Moses. That was the last one. So the scriptures state that there are two kinds of people in this world with different ways of living. Like we said, no middle ground. Living in the flesh. The flesh represents our sinful nature. We must resist indulging, giving oneself in the desire of the flesh. We must allow ourselves to be entirely consumed by its influence, not to be influenced, becoming mere instrument of its will. Nor should we ourselves obedient servants or slave to it. So we do face profound human struggles every day, feeling powerless against the demands of our flesh, body, mind, and soul. Yet we must acknowledge our need for divine assistance. It is through the Holy Spirit that we find our strength. To be truly led by the Spirit, we must first commit to being Spirit-fed. And then, we feed our spirit man. The devil has no authority over our lives other than that we give him. So the second one is we're walking in the Spirit. When a person trusts in Jesus, living in dependence of the Spirit, his life becomes theirs. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we develop self-control and a renewed spirit. We refuse to let our flesh dictate our choices. Instead, we embrace God's ultimate plan for our lives. And then I want to finish here. Of the fruit of the Spirit. When Christians live by the Spirit, we produce a collection of positive characteristics. If you are not experiencing this in your life, you are probably still controlled by flesh. Jesus put the old humanity to death and wants us to reproduce the way of Jesus' life for us. So we read Galatians 5, 22 to 26. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit, leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So I want to come back to that word being conceited. It's being self-centered, being proud. Provoke or provoke, cause off to try and stir up anger, bitterness, offense. That's one thing among people that we always try and do is we always try and stir up bitterness. We want to stir up offense among the people. And that's why we don't see that spirit, fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Maybe in other people's lives as well. And then, or to be jealous, desiring, envying, disliking, and jealous of what others have. So if we live by the Spirit, we need constantly keep in step with the Spirit. Doing so requires intentionality. And this year we've been talking a lot about being intentional and also the word being constant. And the word intentional means done on purpose, deliberate, intended to do it. Do it consciously, do it considerably, and knowing what you are doing, but doing it with purpose. So everything we do intentionally, doing it with purpose. And the word constant meaning it occurs constantly. How? By being persistent, being regular, being abiding and being steadfast in what we do. So it's all well and good to know all of this. And as soon as we step out of this door, it's always like this flame, this candle. As soon as we get out of the door, it's like a candle in the wind where adversity comes, life comes, thing comes, and it blows out that candle. And the question is, how do we reject the life of the flesh and embrace the life of the Spirit? So we read in Romans 6, 12 to 14. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have a new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Sin does not have power over us. Satan does not have power over us. Before we embraced in Jesus, we were ensnared by sin, powerless against its grip. It dominated, or it's still dominating your life, leaving us in a state of being helplessness. But it says here, as your faith grows, so does your understanding of your identity in Christ. You will no longer see yourself as victims of circumstances, but as victors over sin. So it's very important that we need to be careful. What are we feeding our hearts? What are we feeding our minds? What are we busy with? Who are you hanging out with? Those kind of stuff plays a very big role in that. So we read Romans 8, 12 to 14. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. It says that we put to death those deeds of sinful nature. You don't have any commitment towards it anymore. You do what your sinful nature urges you. It's a choice. Everything comes back to a choice that we need to make. And we read the last scripture, Galatians 6, 14 to 15. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. So the deeper our understanding of his incredible deeds, the more our love for him will flourish. And when we behold the beauty of Jesus, we will feel compelled to lay down our lives. on our crosses, yearning to put to death the passions and desires that lead us astray. The world has lost its hold on us, and we in turn have been liberated from its grasps. And I love, there was this video about Andrew Sully this week where he said that they talked about the dogs, and he said to them that, are we well-mannered Christians or are we obedient Christians? So they were talking about the dog. Is he a well-mannered dog or an obedient dog? So well-mannered Christians will still come to church, will still do what a Christian needs to do, will still be and be faithful. But are you really obedient to the word? Are you really obedient to your calling? Are you really obedient to the Spirit? So that's my question this morning for you. And in response time, or getting to a landing, I just want to reflect back to Galatians 5, 24 to 26, where it says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit in every day of our lives. Paul says that those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Paul uses the word crucified to remind us of Jesus' crucifixion, death, and resurrection. It reminds us of Jesus' words to take up your cross daily. It's part of our daily practice as Christians is to put our sinful and passion and desires on His cross, where Jesus paid the price, right from walking up to whenever we feel tempted. Instead of indulging, we nail it back on the cross instead. So this morning, I just want to ask you to close your eyes